This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Join now, Transpositions, a safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You are listening to Transpositions. My name is Michelle, joined by my gorgeous co-host, Migsy.
Hey, Michelle. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, sweetheart. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I thought, I've had a really good week.
Yeah. And you know what? The end of this week is going to be amazing. We've got a four-day weekend ahead of all of us.
And the other thing as well is we also get lots of chocolate.
Oh, there's been so much chocolate around here. I think I'm chocolated out.
It was actually really funny because I walked into the Joy Studios tonight and there was chocolate everywhere. And there were hot cross buns. And I thought, yes, we are hitting Easter. It is that time of the year.
Well, if anybody wants to get to this girl's heart, you need to give me some really good dark chocolate or some of the nicer white chocolate. I'm burnt out on milk chocolate. I've had enough.
Well, I was going to say, I love getting my chocolate as well. Hey, look, I'll tell you what, guys. We have got an absolutely spectacular show lined up for you tonight.
Definitely.
We have got an amazing guest. Her name is Savannah Jackson.
If you had caught the Sunday night on Channel 7 the other night, there was a bit of a Brown Hurst story about her coming out, and she's joining us tonight to talk a bit further and delve a bit deeper.
Yeah, so we'll be talking to her tonight just after 8:15, so make sure that you are listening to Transpositions here on Joy 94.9. Oh, Michelle, you know,
it helps
if I press the buttons.
It does. She's actually from around my neck of the woods.
Cheryl Crow. I was bouncing around in here.
You were actually stripping and throwing your cardio around in the air. It was quite exhilarating.
I was doing a Kevin Shetty, just hurling my jumper, my cardio around like a crazy girl. I was.
I love it. You're not a parent or anything.
Yes. I'm a parent. So
you know what's funny? I always try to find other movies, like things my kids haven't watched in a while. And there's actually one of those I always go back to because they haven't watched that in Toy Story again. I'm like, okay, we want to recycle this one now. I'm sick of Frozen.
I love Frozen. I know. I'm Princess. What's the Ice Queen?
Will you dance around the house like you're Princess Elsa?
Oh, I'm fucking Princess Elsa. Absolutely. Yes.
Naughty, naughty.
I am Princess Elsa. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So, Migsy, what time is it?
It's time for...
time for the news.
It's news time.
Look, I'm trying to find some positive things in the stupid Googles, but I tell you, it's always up and down all over the place.
Was the Googles funny this week?
Oh, the Googles are funny this week. So the first one we have is the transgender sex worker on HIV charge to make new bail bid in Perth. Do you hear about this one? Miss Fox, who is facing charges of causing grievous bodily harm to the man by having unprotected sex with him between January and September last year. Miss Fox was extradited from New South Wales last month to face the charges. She was initially denied bail, but today her lawyer said Miss Fox, who appeared in court via video link from the men's prison actually over there, said she'd be making a new bail application. She was remanded in custody until next month when the application will be heard. The only thing that really actually starting to get to me about the news, and I've never had a problem.
I know you too well.
Yeah, exactly. You know me, I've never had a problem with the whole, I hate the term dead naming. Can we like scrap that one first off?
Okay, and we're scrapping that.
So, you know, my previous name, I have no problem as part of my narrative, but I hate how the news referred to her as her previous name, but then who goes by Miss Fox. I'm like, it's kind of getting old. The news, I think, should be getting like over this now.
It's really quite disconcerting when there's certain news agencies who tend to do that, which tend to show a lack of respect to trans individuals in terms of their name legal name as well.
Well, see, if you're telling a story, like if you're going to go do an expo on me on a whole magazine, I have no problem with that, like at the beginning, you know? But when you're actually just doing a news article like about this person, I'm going, it's just uncalled for.
Yeah, well, look, if someone was ever going to refer to me, I was like, my name is Megan.
You'd lose your marbles.
Yeah, well, yeah, I would probably lose my marbles, but that's just me. I don't know. I'm comfortable with that being lost.
I know you are. Yeah. You ready?
Yes, keep going.
Number two, Joel Silver, who is a new transgender drama called New People, is in the works at Freeform. Freeform is developing New People, a drama series from writer Don Ruse, who is executive producing with Joel Silver and Rodney Farrell, whatever that means. The series is based on the novel Becoming Nicole, the transformation of an American family, which tells the story of a transgender girl, her identical twin brother, and their family. New York Times bestseller. So we got a new drama coming out. So that'll be pretty good.
Okay, sounds great.
Cool. Number three, conservatives want to block Charlotte transgender rules. So basically, the rules have said that people can go to the restrooms that align with their gender identity. Now the social conservatives want to go and change that. And then it's like, it's this whole teeter-totter back and forth over in the state. It's like, okay, you can use the toilets. Whoa, no, we want you to stop using the toilets.
What happens if I can't use the toilets? I just have to sit there and just pee my pants.
Seriously, I'm just going to go to the food court and squat right now.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking probably some of the food that you find in food courts, maybe what comes out of your body might be better than some of that.
I think what I'll do is just offend everyone. I'll stand there like the little angel that you see in the fountains, and they have the arch that they... You'll just see me standing there.
Oh, Michelle, you've lost the plot tonight.
I have lost the plot tonight. Okay,
Michelle,
the next one.
You know you're talking to me about me losing my marbles?
I've officially... Michelle needs a holiday.
Michelle needs a big holiday.
Anybody want to fund my holiday?
0427-JOY-949 or on air at joy.org.au if you want to fund a holiday for Michelle.
All right. Number four, the convicted murderer and transgender pioneer reveals her battle to undergo surgery as an inmate and show how she was released before California was set to pay. So basically, a judge ordered California to pay for this Michelle Norsworthy's gender surgery.
Yeah, I heard about this one in the Googles.
In the Googles, She was paroled from prison before the operation went ahead.
Okay.
And so now she is, she's basically still adjusting to life outside of prison, particularly being around other women. She lives at a halfway house in San Francisco, is looking for long-term housing and a job. So basically she's on the streets, but she's actually able to, it's kind of interesting about that. You can actually pay for the surgery, the lower SRS, using a low-income health insurance scheme.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Well, good on it. So,
yeah, well, that's right.
So if a prisoner overseas in the US can get their SRS funded, why can't that happen in this country?
Yeah, right. We won't go there.
I know, but still, it is a major issue for trans people that we have to try and access some sort of funding from some mysterious message. Yeah.
All right. Well, that is the news at this point.
That has been the Googles for this.
That's the Googles.
The Googles for this week, our Google News. Anyway, so look, I tell you what, our special guest that we do have lined up for tonight, you ready for him?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ready for Savannah? Okay. Savannah, are you there?
I'm here.
Yay!
Hey!
Welcome, Savannah. Hey, a big, big, big congratulations to you. How's it all been coming out? Coming out and going for you and those kinds of things?
Oh, well, the feedback has been phenomenal. If you look at the Channel 7 Facebook, there's, I don't know, thousands of comments there. And overwhelmingly positive and supportive. From my clients, it's been amazing. From my friends, from my staff, it's just, I'm blown away by just how open-minded and accepting and supportive and understanding, Australia has been. And not even Australia. I mean, I've had comments, people from America, from Canada, from Europe have obviously watched the show as well online and have been contacting me through my Facebook. And it's just I've been sitting here for hours trying to respond to literally hundreds and hundreds of direct email messages and Facebook comments and stuff. So it's been overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, sometimes it can be actually a little bit overwhelming. Michelle here, by the way. Now, how long ago was the filming for this special?
Well, what happened was I made a 5-minute video that was my coming out video to my client, and Channel 7 showed a little bit of that in the show, and I sent that out to my clients on February 23rd, and I have about 50,000 clients in Australia, so I thought that was probably the best way to let them know. And unbeknownst to me, one of the senior reporters at Channel 7 is one of my clients.
Oh.
He saw that video, and it turns out they had been looking for somebody to do, a transgender person to do a story on. And when he saw that, he said, "Hold on, this is the person." So he bumped it up the line to Sunday night, and I was actually on Friday, the 26th of February. That was the day I had scheduled to go and have my hair extension. And they called me. I was literally walking out my door. I had makeup on, dressed, whole thing. I was going to my hairdresser. And they called me and they said, "We want to do a story on you." I said, "Look, I'm seriously, like, I'm half an hour away from having hair extensions." They said, no, we want to film you as a guy. So I had to postpone the hair extensions till Monday. And we filmed all day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, me as Daniel. And then the Monday, they filmed me getting the hair extensions. And then they filmed interview with Julie, and then with me, my mom. So about 8 days of filming all up over a 2-week period. And then they edited it, and it came out this past Sunday. So it's about 3 weeks from when they first contacted me to when it went to air.
That's pretty full on. Because I did a thing on SBS recently, and we did it back in November, and it was only just aired recently in March. So that's why I was asking.
I'm feeling all left out
you
here.
You are feeling so left out.
I'm feeling very left out here. I'm the only one out of the three of us who hasn't done any sort of television.
I was going to ask, I was going to say since the airing of the show and stuff. So obviously it would have been recent, the conversations that we heard on the show from your wife or your ex or however you guys or whatever language you're using on this. So what we heard is actually sort of up to the minute of where things are at.
Yeah, exactly. That's everything you saw in the video is literally just in the last couple of weeks. So it's still very fresh.
Is it like still settling in for you? Does it feel real? This all happened?
Yeah. I mean, because I've been living part-time as a woman for 15 years. I'm very comfortable in society as a woman. So that's been really easy to slip into the day-to-day routine of being Samantha. What I found is that, you know what it's like when you're living part-time, and when you're not being yourself, you have dysphoria. And when you are living authentically, the dysphoria disappears. But what I didn't realize I had is I had a lot of anxiety about the fact that when I was expressing myself as Savannah, I wouldn't have the dysphoria, but I would have the anxiety because I knew that I would have to go back to being Daniel either tomorrow or in a couple of days from now or a couple of hours or something. And what I'm experiencing now is I don't have the dysphoria and I don't have this anxiety that I didn't even realize was there, because I'm never, ever going back to having to live, you know, as a man again. And I don't have the dysphoria of living inauthentically. So that's probably, for me, been the biggest revelation and biggest positive experience that I've gotten out of the whole thing.
Yeah, that was my experience as well when I first, in my first year of transition, because I tried to slow things down with my kids and stuff with work, and I struggled with work and had to go back and forth, and I had to go back to actually being Daniel. And then there was my Michelle days, and then whatever. See, you can see you're just feeling completely left out, aren't you?
It's just like Daniels and television. And
and so, you know, I had the same thing. But when I first finally was able to work full time, I remember, and here I was living, you know, that part time or whatever, you know, as Michelle. But then when it was finally fully, it was like the name change. And when I was fully working full time, I remember the first time on the train going, "I do this shit every day." But then here I am the first time doing it, going, "Why am I so anxious?"
Yeah, it's been a rush. It's been fun. I mean, and every morning I wake up and it's like, oh, you know, you run through your head what we're going to wear, and it's just a lot of fun. I'm having a ball.
How is your daughter and your ex and stuff going with everything?
Oh, they're fantastic. I mean, they're really. I mean, as we saw on the show, like, we've been out to our daughter for about 3 or 4 years now, so she's just. She's loving it. She loved all the attention. The camera's there, and you know, so she thought she got a real kick out of, you know, learning about the process of making a TV show and stuff. And now that the show's come out, you know, yesterday she came home from school and we're like, "Oh, okay, how'd it go? Did anyone say anything?" She was not. No one said anything. The only one who said anything was another boy who happens to live in our building, because they go to school together. Yeah. But he already knew me, so, you know, she expected him to know. But No, and no one. I don't think anyone in our school watched the show or clicked or whatever. So
yeah, because what I was going to say in what you've done in your case is you've obviously protected your daughter in terms of her being on television because you've gone and protected her identity. So there's no negative issues that she has when she's at school.
Yeah, and I mean, we thought maybe they recognize, you know, her name, Chantel Kutcher, but I don't think anyone registered. She only just started at this school this year. So she's not that well known at the school. So that probably helped as well.
I definitely think probably would have.
Well, I love the hair extensions. I think Mingzi and I are going to come to pay a visit next time you go in, and we'll all go together and get our hair done.
I can't afford extensions. I'm too poor. Oh, hang on. I'm talking to Amir now on the phone. just joking. Yeah, look, I tell you what. Savannah, one of the things I wanted to talk about, just to touch base, I know for myself professionally when I transitioned, because I do work in a professional environment, how I had to manage it within my own LinkedIn sort of network kind of context, I had to be quite delicate with how I went and gradually phased through this idea that I was transitioning. In my case, I didn't have the opportunity of leaving my work. I basically transitioned there at work. The way in which you did it, you sort of alluded to it a little bit earlier. How was it for you? What were the most challenging aspects of when you were transitioning at work?
I suppose in my situation, because I don't work for somebody, I own the company, I work for my clients. So, you know, if they were to, you know, be offended or, you know, be put off by my transition, then they could, you know, they'd fire me basically by firing the services, like not renewing the contracts that we have with them. So that's a pretty big concern because I had, 30 odd staff and, you know, I'm very responsible for, you know, my staff salaries and my overheads and everything else. So I was I wasn't nervous. I was pretty confident my clients would be fine because we had so many clients too. I figured, well, you know, there's probably going to be maybe 5 or 10% of them who, you know, have an issue and the rest won't really care. They'll just, yep, whatever. Like, you know, 2016 for crying out loud, you know, we're pretty open-minded people now. But I still wanted to do it, you know, respectfully. So that's why I created that 5-minute video and, which is actually on YouTube, and people can view it if they want. But, you know, I put that out there to them. And to be honest, I thought that would be it. Like, I'd make that 5-minute video, send it out to my client. That was my statement. Then I'd go and transition, and that would be the end of it. I never planned for the whole Channel 7 thing to happen. That all came afterwards. But and the feedback we got from the clients, I mean, I have had, just from my clients alone, hundreds and hundreds of emails, and not one of them negative. Like every single one of them back from the clients has been very positive and supportive. So it's really yesterday's news by now. It's been almost 3.5 weeks now, and it's been just completely fine.
Yeah, look, and that's the thing that, you know, we always hear about people who have built a business and have always hear people like Caitlyn Jenner who have a bit of money and they're not able to go and do their transition and whatever. And you always hear these narratives of sense of privilege and whatever. But I said to, you know, we were having a chat as well going, you're not one of those. You're somebody who has worked hard from the bottom up. And you know, you have had, you know, when you went through your depression that it showed on the show, you had, you know, it lost millions in the from your business as well. And so coming out completely, you do take such a massive risk of losing so much. And so,
yeah, and I had the experience, like I said in the show, I was blackmailed. And there was actually, they focused on one particular, I was blackmailed twice. The second time was the bigger one. But the first one actually resulted in me losing a multi-million dollar contract, even though he wasn't trying to extort millions of dollars out of me. One of my promoters found out about it because of the blackmail and canceled the contract with me. And that was back in 2004. And then the second blackmail, which is the one they talked about in the show, that happened in late 2008, early 2009. That was a clear case of blackmail. He was, you know, specifically asking for $150,000. So I had experiences of being outed and being, you know, having extortion attempts and stuff like that. So I was wary of how people might perceive my transition. So that was in the back of my mind. But at the same time, you know, I couldn't wait any longer. I mean, I was working towards this for years and years and years. My biggest concerns in transitioning was, how is my daughter going to handle it? And how are my clients going to handle it? And we just took our time and made sure that, obviously, my daughter is the most important, and we spent, you know, time and with counselors and stuff and made sure she was good, and spent years making sure she was fine. And then it was time for the client. And by then, Caitlyn Jenner had gone in transition. So the whole transgendered narrative had changed, and visibility and society's reactions to transgender news, and of course we had people like Laverne Cox and others who had lifted the transgendered banner so much higher than it was even 3, 4, 5 years ago. So I think that helped enormously, and it certainly gave me even more confidence that my clients would be okay, because I think you'd have to be a real jerk now these days to be outwardly negative towards transgender people, given that we're so visible now. People realize it's not a mental illness and it's not a lifestyle choice. Like being born white or black or gay or straight, it's just another part of the human condition, right?
One of the things I wanted to touch on, sort of really taking a big look back into your past, was that you came to Australia, I think from South Africa, is that correct?
South Africa? No, Canada.
Oh, Canada. It's all the same. same.
Slightly, just next door.
Okay, kind of. Yeah.
Her and I are cousins, all right?
Okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, but when you came to Australia, obviously you're a very fit person, and you got involved with the Army Reserves. I think it was about 8 years or something like that. Is that right? Is that correct?
That's right.
So going into the Army Reserves, was there any specific reason why you chose going to the reserves? Was it either it felt like a natural fit, or for you was it trying to hide your identity?
Oh no, it had nothing to do with the identity issue. I was 19. I was in second year university. A friend of mine was going along to an information night. I never really thought about the Army before, and he was going to this information night. I thought, I'll tag along, out of interest, and I just got totally hooked. Particularly back then, I was very physical, very athletic, and I loved being in a responsible position. I'm a natural born leader, and I love outdoorsy stuff, and certainly challenging mental and physical activities. So, and I wanted to serve my country. Right. By that point, I was an Australian citizen, and I was young and with tea and everything. So it was just I loved my time in the Army. I had an absolute ball. I was an infantry officer, and it had nothing to do. However, it did help me with my dysphoria, because when you're out in the bush and you're particularly an officer, when you've got men you're responsible for, and you're planning whatever you're doing, you don't have time to think about dysphoria being trans. And everybody's even in terms of what they're wearing and how they smell and what they look like. And so it's just a great escape from society, sort of thing. And you're not worrying about what the latest fashions are, what you're not wearing, and how you're not interacting with other people socially. You're there on a job 24/7. So it was wonderful, distraction from dysphoria at that time.
No, it definitely sounds like a great distraction. No, you're mentioning saying, it's 2016. Come on, this isn't like, the dark ages or whatever. But, you see so much going on in the U.S. where it just seems like things are teeter-tottering back and forth from, it's positive coming out, but then no, we're putting you back in the closet. And, Canada, they're going great.
Yeah, we're Americans.
I know.
Hey, Savannah.
You just got to roll your eyes, right?
I have to sit across from one.
No, I'm from the Midwest in the U.S., and I have to look back on
it. It's even worse.
Oh, you shut up.
I think all progress is, three steps forward, one or two steps back. And sometimes, particularly in America, we're currently going through a couple of steps back, But it won't win. These whole bathroom bills and these religious freedom rights acts and stuff in America, they're not going to win. They're just the last dying breath of the conservative right wing trying to push their agenda. But they're in the minority, and eventually society will just keep moving forward as it did with women's rights, as it did with in America and the blacks' rights. It's just the gays' rights, and now it's transgender rights. So it's just we're moving forward. We still got a long way to go. Obviously, we're certainly not there yet. And maybe even women aren't there yet after 100 years of fighting for this stuff more. But, we're making progress.
Well, after you look at
a few steps back.
Well, after you look at, you'd see in the last year, there was nearly 200 bills that were put forward, but none of them went through. And, same thing happening this year. So you're right, progress will be coming through. Now, we're going to be stepping away for just a second. When we come back, I'd love to actually chat some more about your daughter. Some of the questions we constantly get from, I get from other parents or other people coming out is talking to me about how I had transitioned with my kids. And I'd love to go in and hear more about, how you sort of handled that. You touched a bit of it on the show, but I'd love to hear some more about that and how you worked out.
Yeah, so do you want to hang around a little bit longer?
Yeah, why not?
All right, sure. Good awesome. Stuff. All right, you are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. I'm going to play some messages and be back shortly.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Transpositions. My name is Michelle, joined by my co-host, Migsy.
Yay.
Intuition Jewel.
And Intuition and Jewel.
And we're joined by Savannah. Hi, Savannah.
Hi.
I was thinking she's probably fallen asleep on us.
I'm here.
Okay, good.
Now, before we stepped away, I was... I had a question more about like your family and things like that. Some of the questions I constantly get from messages from folks is talking about how we handled transition with my daughters, because my daughters are 10 and 6. And I remember one of the stories I usually tell is about the first time I went out dressed with my daughters and how I let them actually dress me and do my makeup and everything. And it was horrendous.
Did you let your kids do your...
I did. I had purple eyeshadow.
Oh, really?
I had high heels that didn't match anything.
You sound like you would have been at DJ's on a Saturday night then.
Yeah, something like that. I definitely on the corner in St. Kilda.
Okay.
So I was just curious, because I know they touched a bit on it on the show, but I was just, I guess take it to a bit about how you were thinking, how you talked with your partner, how that sort of went.
Yeah, no, like they said in the show, we contacted a family counselor who specialized in children and telling children, life-changing news such as, you were adopted or your parents are gay or something like that. And so she actually hadn't had any experience with transgender parents, but she was a wonderful lady. And we spent a year with taking our daughter to her every 6 to 8 weeks. So Chantel really got to know her before we even started to talk to Chantel about me. So Chantel was really comfortable with the counselor. And we were all, great, having great little sessions. And then, one day when she was 8, we sat her down and explained it. I was Daniel at the time. And then I went away, got changed, came back. And she didn't realize I was daddy. Like, she thought I was a different person. And so she's a little bit shy at first. And then she realized, and about maybe half an hour into it, she looked at me and she said, "You're daddy." Yeah. And Julie said, "Do this. Daddy is also Savannah." Oh! And that's when she sort of let go of Julie and came and sat in my lap, and her and I then went and played in her playroom for 4 hours, and that was it. That was from that moment onwards, she was totally cool. But there was one time, it was kind of funny, because in the beginning, for the first 6 or so months, she'd call me Daddy everywhere we went, of course, and I would never tell her not to, because she's the only person in the world who calls me Daddy, and I don't want to take that away from her. But I went to Savannah. I took my daughter and my mom and my aunt to see a play in Sydney. Fabulous play. 1,000 people in the auditorium. And there was an intermission. So Chantel says, and she's only like 8 or 9 at the time, she says, "Oh, I need to go to the toilet." I said, "I'll take you to the toilet." So we go to the women's washroom, and there's a huge queue of women, and there's like 25 stalls, that big giant bathroom. Finally, it's our turn. One of the doors to the stalls open, and I said to Chantel, "Okay, you go in that one." And the one directly opposite opened. I said, "Look, I'm right here. I'm right across the hall. You're there. Okay? Yes, fine." So she closes the door. I go in. I close my door. As soon as I close my door, she yells out, "Daddy!" And I'm just standing there inside the women's bathroom going, "You've got to be kidding me."
I could so relate.
I've got two choices. I can ignore my daughter and create an issue with her that we probably never cure. Or I can suck it up and go and see what she wants. So I opened the door, and as I walked out, I could see a line of like 50 women standing in line looking at me, because I'm 6'1". And so it's pretty obvious what's going on. And I'm like, I'm just ignoring the women. I'm saying, "Yes, Chantel, what is it?" And she didn't really need anything. I think she just wanted to let me know.
My daughters are the exact same way. Every time before we go in the toilet, I'm like, "Okay, what are the rules?" Because I still go by Daddy. Like, that's my thing. I'm still do Daddy.
Me too.
And it's she and her and stuff. But my 6-year-old constantly screws up and says Daddy. Like, she's sitting there wanting, "Are you almost done, Daddy? Daddy?" And I'm like, "Oh my God's sakes!"
Oh my God! Of all the places in the women's washroom.
Yeah. So we have to have this talk before.
My mom's funny, because my mom's the seamstress and a phenomenal seamstress. She does phenomenal wedding gowns and stuff. And so I spent half my life in Spotlight growing up as a kid, and it's wonderful now because she makes me heaps of clothes. It's fabulous. But we'll go to Spotlight, and I mean, mom's known for 15 years, but she still occasionally calls me Daniel when we're out. But mom, she'll call out quite loudly. We're in Spotlight, and she'll say, "Daniel." Oh, I mean, Savannah.
And then I absolutely
you gotta laugh it off.
I absolutely love that you're so comfortable with that, because so many people are so adamant about. I mean, look, there's the point where it's appropriateness and it has to transition, you know, to the new name. But it's amazing how comfortable you are with that, and I actually do applaud you for that, because you know those people are transitioning as well, and they're still getting their. I mean, you said 15 yeah. years, for God's sakes, you know.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, and they're not doing it on purpose. It's hard for them to. I mean, even now, Chantel calls me. Savannah, when we're out in public, she just started doing that. I think she just clicked one day that, oh, okay, maybe you prefer to be called Savannah. I never asked her to, but she clicked. But, you know, and sometimes just out of habit, she'll call me Daddy when we're out in public, and, you know, I just ignore it. I don't ignore her. I mean, I don't mind. Like, it doesn't bother me. I occasionally tell her, hey, you know.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, sorry. But, yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah, well, Savannah, I was going to say, it's been so lovely talking to you. We've actually run out of time.
Oh, definitely. And I'd love to go and chat with you. I'll catch up with you on Facebook and things like that. And maybe we'll catch up again and bring you back on the show again, chat some more sometime.
Yeah, when you come down to Melbourne, we'll definitely get you in here to join so you can have a proper interview in the studio.
Love to. That would be wonderful. Yeah, I set up a Facebook profile page called Savannah Jackson. And you can tell it's me because it's the cover page is a picture of me and Ronnie Sadler, who interviewed me on Channel 7. So awesome. If anyone wants to... You know, have a look at that. Just look up Savannah Jackson on Facebook and you'll find my profile page.
Beautiful.
Sounds brilliant. Look, thank you so much for joining us, Savannah. I appreciate it. And we'll speak to you again.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
See, bye.
Bye.
Well, unfortunately, it has got to the end of the night. Been listening to Transpositions. You know, enjoy 94.9. Michelle, what do you think?
That's such a great night. It's just a great conversation. Yeah. You know, you walk away. It's not often you walk away from some interviews where you're just smiling, going, wow, it's just so comfortable and so great.
Savannah's such a beautiful person.
Oh, she is.
So good to talk to. And look, I actually got to meet her when I was in Sydney just recently, and she's just.
No.
Oh, my God.
We'll definitely have to have her down when she's in Melbourne.
Yeah. She's beautiful. And it's just like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Yeah. This is like. So glad that she's, so glad that she came and, she's just an amazing person.
Well, we got so much more exciting stuff coming up down the road as well.
Yeah.
If anybody needs to reach out to us and you have anything you want to share with the community, you can get us on transpositions@joy.org.au. You can also get us on Twitter on... Which magazine?
Yeah. Oh, God. I forget. You know the drill.
Well, we're Twits. We're Instagrams. We're everything.
Facebook.com/transpositions on Joy. Anyway, that's it for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. And we've got some gold for it. Good night, guys.
Good night. I was blinded by the
light. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.